an energy-producing state, a state that isn't importing coal and oil and gas. We don't have any of that in Wisconsin. Every dollar we spend that goes for those fuels is a dollar that leaves the state of Wisconsin. Our opportunity is renewable energy, wind, solar, biomass, and other forms of energy. The great northern forest of this state can be much of the answer to our energy challenges.
Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip to the future. Welcome to Route 51, regional talk radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Mobrig. The announcement by Governor Jim Doyle came a little over a week ago at a news conference in Rothschild, attended by representatives of the Domtar Paper Mill and its unions, by We Energies, and by local business and community leaders. We Energies and Domtar would collaborate on a $250 million biomass power plant that would use pulp waste to generate 50 megawatts of electricity for the mill and for the surrounding area, reducing the use of fossil fuels, creating hundreds of new green jobs, and marking a path for Wisconsin's energy independence. Today we're going to discuss Wisconsin's energy future. As Governor Doyle said, it lies in biomass and other renewables, and we have a panel of experts to talk about it. In our Wausau studio, Jeff Landon, president of the Wisconsin Paper Council, and Walter Doc Musicamp, the Public Affairs Account Manager for We Energies. Joining us by telephone, Thad Nation, the executive director of CREW, which stands for Coalition for Clean, Responsible Energy for Wisconsin's Economy. That's a group that supports and works to implement the recommendations of Governor Doyle's task force on global warming. Joining us by a direct link to our Wisconsin Public Radio studio at UW Stevens Point, Don Guay, assistant professor of paper sciences and engineering, who is working on cutting-edge research for the future of biomass technology. Also later today, we hope to hook up with Butch Johnson. He's the CEO of Flambeau River Papers in Park Falls, which is already saving money and generating power with biomass. This is an exciting field, and we want your input. You can give us a phone call at 261-6371. That's 261-6371 if you're anywhere in the Wausau area, or you can call us anywhere toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. We're going to introduce today's topic by playing you a portion of the remarks at that groundbreaking news conference in Rothschild from John Williams, the CEO of Domtar Paper.
We're very pleased to have Wisconsin Governor Jim Doyle with us and federal and state officials, union representatives, because certainly at Domtar we believe very strongly that the union are our partners and that together we develop the business. And I come from a model in Europe where the union is extremely important to us. And also we're very pleased to have area business leaders to help us make this announcement. Domtar is very proud to work with We Energies and announce this development to investigate a wood biomass boiler and 50 megawatt turbine generator. Domtar is very appreciative that We Energies selected our Rothschild mill because we think and believe very strongly this is a true win-win for both our organizations, for the community and the state of Wisconsin. By bringing jobs to the community, improving our mill's competitiveness, and providing more green power for the state of Wisconsin. Thank you.
That's Jeff Williams, who is the CEO of Domtar Paper at a groundbreaking news conference in Rothschild a little over a week ago. Let's turn this over to our panels. I want to start out with Thad Nation of CREW in a news release. You said We Energies' proposed biomass plant will bring substantial economic and environmental benefits to Wisconsin, consistent with the recommendations of the governor's task force on global warming. Thad Nation, talk about some of those benefits.
Well, the benefits, I think, are pretty self-evident. We're looking at over 400 jobs that are construction jobs just building the plant itself, 150 permanent jobs in the surrounding community, not only running the plant, but also in the forestry community and tapping into the existing supply chain that exists with Domtar, where the folks that already are supplying the wood to the plant, utilizing the waste that normally would either be left on the forest floor or go to the landfills, to be able to use that to power this new facility. You're also looking at environmental benefits because instead of using natural gas or coal to provide electricity to the plant, by using wood, you're getting a better profile in terms of the emissions that you're going to release. And, you know, by doing that, you're going to be improving the overall, not only the overall emissions profile, but also the competitiveness of the paper mill itself, because you're going to be able to provide them with a cheaper, reliable source of steam to run the mill instead of having to rely on the fluctuations of the price of natural gas. So it's a win-win-win.
Thad, a lot of people probably aren't familiar with your organization, CREW. I've told the folks who are listening that you're trying to implement the governor's recommendations, his task force on global warming. Who is in your coalition, and how do you think you're going to do that?
Well, our coalition is made up of a variety of businesses from across Wisconsin, including groups like Johnson Controls, Orion Energy, utilities from across the state, Miller Coors, folks like Clean Power, and even representatives from the tribal community, the Forest County Potawatomi community. They've all come together recognizing that global warming is a major issue, that there are steps that need to be taken at the federal level, but there are also steps that need to be taken at the state level to improve the position that we're in. So right now, we're going through a process of working with the legislature to draft a bill. This is a big, comprehensive piece of legislation. There were 63 recommendations that came out of a year-long process, which was a wide-ranging process that included business groups, labor groups, environmental groups.
63 recommendations on how to reduce global warming. And if you're successful, if you implement all of these, what do you hope to achieve? What do you want Wisconsin to look like in the future?
Well, we want Wisconsin to be a model for the rest of the country. We want to be spurring economic development here in Wisconsin in terms of green jobs and opportunities for more renewable fuel. We want to be very sensitive to making sure that we maintain our economic environment here, that we are able to both reduce global warming gases at the same time that we are creating economic opportunity here in the state of Wisconsin.
Okay, Thad, thank you so much. And again, if you would like to join us, the phone number is 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. Let me move on to Doc Musicamp of We Energies. The pluses for this power plant, as Thad Nation outlined it, I imagine you're in agreement with him.
Oh, you bet, you bet. I think he did an excellent job of laying those out for everyone. You know, certainly from our perspective, from the utilities perspective, there's benefit in terms of the additional generation towards our renewable portfolio standard goal that we have to meet. So we're certainly focused on that as well, along with the other projects that we've both undertaken, have completed, and are undertaking.
And We Energies is also involved with other alternative energy sources.
That's exactly correct. Yes, we have currently our Blue Sky Greenfield Wind project that's located in Fond du Lac County that's in operation, just recently completed its first year of commercial operation. And we have proposed and are in the process of going through the regulatory process with the Glacier Hills Wind Park, which is in Columbia County as well. So two large wind parks, one operating and one proposed.
John Williams indicated in his remarks that he was happy that We Energies chose the Rothschild plant for this project. Now, does that mean there were other sites under consideration, and does that also mean we'll see more of these collaborations in the future?
Well, you know, it's interesting characterization because from my understanding, I think Domtar really stepped up and really came forward and thought that this concept made sense for them, and we were just delighted to have their partnership in that manner. And certainly, I think as we go forward, the unique characteristics of the project that we've proposing with Domtar, there's a lot of benefit that makes it potentially repeatable down the way. And so we'd certainly love to look at similar types of projects that could take that same form.
Now, the project still needs to go before the Public Service Commission for approval. Any worries about that?
Well, you know, you certainly have to do your due diligence and prepare a complete application and be ready for lots of questions and then further questions after you answer the first questions. But that's really the world we live in. We're very used to that. And so we think we can make the case in a very good way.
And how important was it to locate this power plant on the premises of a paper mill, which, of course, means it's already on an existing industrial site.
Absolutely huge. It's just one of those, I mentioned, you know, the little nuance of having great benefit, and that's it, in large part, is the fact that you don't have to site a greenfield sort of installation, that you can take advantage of this existing industrial facility and the benefits, take advantage of some of their existing infrastructure and so forth.
Jeff Landon, what does this project mean for the paper industry? As the president of the Wisconsin Paper Council, you live in Plover, so you're kind of in this neck of the woods. And how is something like this going to help your mills stay competitive?
It's a great question, Glenn. I'll kind of go back in history where how this actually started. We were approached by We Energies because they had to comply with an order to put this 50-megawatt plant somewhere in the state. And they approached us to talk about potential synergies with a paper mill, knowing that they wanted to look at biomass and burning wood waste. Why it works for this paper mill and the paper industry specifically, Domtar is able to utilize the steam from this power plant to drive down their energy costs. And energy costs for a paper mill are very, very significant, a huge energy consumer. So Domtar is going to make this mill incredibly competitive compared to the other mills in their fleet, and also other mills within other mills that produce the same products. So they're going to fortify their mill for the years to come. The other part that's attractive for the paper industry is we are going to be able to control the source of the wood for the boiler. By that I mean there is concern in the paper industry that biomass in and of itself can be good, but if we're in competition for pulp wood, which can be the case in many times, that will drive up the cost not only for our energy but also our raw material of wood. With Domtar being able to control to the degree that they are able to, procuring the wood waste, we can pretty much, they can guarantee to a large extent that they're going to be burning wood waste, bark, slash, tops, that we would not be using in our production. So we will be able to make sure that the supply for wood is kept where it needs to be for not only Domtar but other mills in the state.
So what you're saying is that biomass is good, but let's not use biomass plants in a way that's going to drive up the cost of the wood products that you're dependent on.
Exactly right. The Paper Council has been very, very upfront in saying that we support the concept of burning wood for biomass. However, it needs to be done properly. And by that, we mean you need to identify waste. Don't go after the pulp wood. And it should be done in the most efficient way possible, preferably with a combined heat and power plant like this will be. Just burning wood without using the steam is a very inefficient way to burn wood. I mean, I'm sure Professor Gway could speak to that and others would talk to a best way to utilize that resource. You need to maximize the use of the wood, and this will do that. And we will support projects that do that. And those that don't, we will raise objections.
Well, let's bring Professor Gway into this. Don Gway, you are a professor of paper science UW Stevens Point, and you're working on some cutting-edge resource right now for biomass production.
Yes, we are. And I'd like to follow up on some of Jeff's comments first. I agree with him 100%. You know, we do need to control the wood that we burn for electricity, and although it's a very good thing to displace carbon dioxide, electricity is still a relatively low-value product, and taking wood waste, which is a low-value product, and making electricity makes sense. Pulp wood that makes paper is actually a huge economic driver in our state, and therefore that type of wood needs to go into a higher-value product like pulp and paper. And so I think from that standpoint, Jeff's case is right. And I also... the combined heat and power, if you are going to do electricity, is by far the best way to go. Europe has been doing this for a long time. They have a lot of district heating projects where pulp mills supply heat to the local community as well. And so I think I applaud We Energies for doing this as a combined heat and power. In addition to the folks that I do know in the mill in Rothschild, they're excited. They realize that this is a project that's going to save a lot of jobs in the Rothschild area. So they're very, very excited about this project.
Well, it's what Thad Nation was saying. It's a win-win-win. Talk about, just in very general terms right now, I want to get into the specifics a little bit later, but we're running kind of long. What is some of the research that you're doing in Stevens Point?
Sure. It's a collaborative project between my department and the Department of Biology with Dr. Eric Sinksas, with a company called American Science and Technology in Wausau. And what we are doing is taking wood and we are splitting it into three main components. And without going into a lot of details, there's essentially the wood and the glue that holds it together, and we're splitting it up. And once we do that, we're making high-value products from the three components. You've probably heard a lot about cellulosic ethanol, but if cellulosic ethanol only uses half of the biomass to make a product, we don't believe in that. We want to take all of the wood and convert as much as we can into valuable products so that we can displace carbon dioxide but also generate a huge impact on the environment, create more jobs, and have a more sustainable facility that can make a multitude of products with values that range from low to high.
So you're not just talking about using biomass for generating power. You're talking about using biomass to create a whole range of products.
Yes. One of the products we're focusing on is a chemical called isoprene, which when polymerized becomes rubber. And the isoprene market is limited only by its supply. And we would actually be displacing then a chemical called butadiene, which is made from petroleum, that's a carcinogen. And, of course, it does, and makes rubber that's actually inferior to the polymerized version of isoprene.
I want you to get into that in more detail, but I'm going to take a short break because with all these guests, we are running a little bit short on time. Thad Nation, do you have anything to add to this conversation at this point before we let you go in Milwaukee?
Nope. I appreciate it, the chance to be on tonight. It's a great conversation. It's a great topic, and thanks for doing it.
And are you hopeful that we will be able to meet all 63 of these recommendations? You know, the political world is a world of give and take, and sometimes people give more than they take.
Well, we've already seen some progress on a few of them. The legislature passed wind siting rules in the last 2 days. They're off to the governor's desk, so that's of our five major areas, that's one major area that's already where we're already seeing substantial progress. We've seen progress at the federal level through some of the bills that have gone through Congress in the last year on a couple of the other recommendations. So, you know, we're clicking off. We're down from 63 down probably into the 50s somewhere at this point. So, yeah, I'm very optimistic that we'll see progress and we'll get this done.
Thad Nation of the Crew Organization, we've got a panel of experts talking about Wisconsin's renewable energy future and the future of biomass. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back after this.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
You're in tune with Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking about Wisconsin's renewable energy future. We'd like to hear from you. 2616371 or 1-800-780-9742. What do you think of the future of renewable energy? Do you think it's a pie in the sky idea, or is this something that we absolutely have to do for this state? We have a panel of experts, including Don Guay. And Don, I'd like you to talk a little bit more about the research that you're doing at UW Stevens Point. You're actually trying to create rubber out of biomass.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things that people don't often realize is that one of the largest consumers of petroleum in this country is making things like plastic and rubber and other chemicals. And we believe that displacing this CO2 is just as valuable as displacing the CO2 that goes into electricity and that goes into liquid transportation fuel. But these are materials that are very, very valuable. You know, when we talk about isoprene, we believe that isoprene is a platform, much like ethanol is now, that isoprene is one of the most common chemicals found in nature, and it's the backbone of steroids, it's the backbone of rubber. There's a lot of different avenues that you can take this material into.
How do you make rubber out of wood pulp?
Well,
try not to be too technical.
Well, you know, we are capitalizing on the technology of the pulp and paper industry. You know, we have been using chemical methods to separate wood to make pulp for over 100 years. And we're using a process, and I won't go into the details, called organosolv pulping. It's a little bit different than what is used in the pulp mills right now in the state. But once the pulp is generated, we can use standard techniques to convert that pulp into sugar. And once you're at sugar, the sky's the limit on what you can do with it. And what my colleague is doing, Dr. Eric Singsas, is engineering bacteria to convert the sugar into isoprene. And once we have isoprene, there's a lot of different ways we can take it. But isoprene in itself is a very, very valuable material almost on par with the value of paper itself.
So this is a collaboration between the paper sciences division at UW Stevens Point and the biology department. You're using the bacteria to create this isoprene. And what do you have to do in order to convert isoprene to rubber?
You have to polymerize it. And so whether that, you know, that may or may not happen at the facility that makes the isoprene, but once you have isoprene, then you can go to chemical companies like DuPont or even rubber manufacturers, and they could take it from there.
Now, I would assume that if you create isoprene or eventually rubber, that's probably going to generate more money than if you're using wood pulp as fuel.
Oh, absolutely. It's certainly a very large market, a very valuable product. You know, at its peak, you know, when gas prices were very high, isoprene had a value in excess of $20 per gallon.
And how much does it cost to make this if you can get $20 per gallon off of it?
I would say, you know, we're targeting a production cost of $2 a gallon.
So that's an $18 profit per gallon. That's not bad.
That would not be
bad. That's
not
bad.
Right.
And how long do you think it's going to take if everything goes well and this process that you're working on at UW Stevens Point before we'll see local paper companies like the one at Domtar and maybe Butch Johnson's unit up in Park Falls actually creating rubber at their paper mills?
Well, I would hope, you know, right now what our plans are is we do have some bacteria that we're ready for scale up, and we're going to be working with our partner, American Science and Technology in Wausau, to, instead of working on a 2-liter batch size, be working on something on 100 to 200 gallon size. And when we prove the technology at that scale, at the same time, we're going to be designing something on the neighborhood of a 1 to 2 ton per day pilot plant facility that we would be hoping to run by 2011 or 2012.
And if that works out, what's the date? That's what I want from you, a date right here.
A date? Well, if we had a pilot plant that was running by the end of 2011 and was successful, I would say we could be doing this by 2013.
It's Wisconsin's energy future. It's right around the corner. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Carl and Auburndale, hang on. We'll be taking you after the break. 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. We'll be back. This news. We are back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today we're talking about Wisconsin's energy future. It is a future of alternatives and recyclables, and we are really focusing on biomass, although we'll get on into other forms of renewable energies this half hour. Our guests, Walter Doc Musicamp of We Energies. We also have Jeff Landon of the Wisconsin Paper Council. And joining us in a direct line from our UW Stevens Point studio, Don Guay. He's an assistant professor of paper science who's working on new technological breakthroughs in the field of biomass. Thanks to Thad Nation, who joined us for the first half hour of our show, and we'd also like to welcome right now Butch Johnson, who's the CEO of Flambeau River Papers in Park Falls. Butch, how are you doing today?
Very good.
Tell me how things are going up there. It's been about a year and a half since we checked in with you last. How's the paper mill going, and how is the power generating facility going?
Well, the paper mill is doing just fine. We've got a tremendous workforce in Park Falls. We're making a lot of progress, and we're going to be in the black this year, so that's sure makes us feel good. We've done a lot of work. We've reduced our energy consumption by well over 25%. We just signed a pledge in Detroit with Save Energy Now to reduce our energy consumption by another 25%.
Now, if you didn't have this power generating facility there, what would the bottom line be like for Flambeau River Papers?
Well, I think there's a couple things that we looked at. First is, number one, anywhere you can save and reduce your energy consumption is where you should go after right away, and we're pretty happy with where we're at. We currently have a boiler, and we burn biomass. That biomass produces about 150,000 pounds of steam per hour, and about 5.5 megawatts of electricity. Obviously, that is our cheapest fuel, and also it's fossil fuel free. And our goal, since we've purchased the mill, is to become fossil fuel free. And with hopefully with the expansion that we'll be able to do with our biorefinery, we will get to be fossil fuel free in 2012. I think that's quite an accomplishment. We just signed an agreement with Honeywell to bring Honeywell into the engineering of our process, and they actually think that we can make it, besides being carbon neutral, we can actually become carbon carbon negative. So that's pretty exciting to put into the picture.
Jeff Landon, Flambeau River Papers and its resurrection after it shut down in Park Falls, and it happened in large part because of Butch Johnson and the coalition he put together. This is really a success story for Wisconsin, isn't it?
Without a doubt. And if I could just say something, I urge everybody to read Corporate Report Wisconsin this month. There's a very handsome man on the cover. And a great article about Butch and what he has done for that mill and that community. It's a testament to not only his business knowledge, but the generosity and kindness that man has and what he has done for that community and for so many people and so many lives he's touched. It's a great story. But specifically, that mill, what they've done to be able to bring it back to life after so many companies tried to do something to it and could not make it succeed, to employ those people, and as Butch said, to becoming to a stage where they're actually going to make some money, not only on the paper production, which is huge, but all that they've done in the research and technology side for biofuels and to become a better steward of the environment. It's an incredible story.
Any idea, and I'm just talking off the top of my head here, so I might get a no from you, Doc Musicamp, but any thought of maybe going into a collaboration with Butch Johnson's unit in Park Falls or maybe another power company doing that and taking this limited production of 5.5 megawatts, boosting it up and providing power for more people?
Well, Butch, we should talk after. it's certainly something that we do want to explore further as we look, down the path. We have a very aggressive goal that we have to meet from a public policy standpoint and the renewable portfolio standard that's out there. So we're looking for all of these or for any of these win-win type of situations. So, we'd certainly be happy to talk and investigate anything that takes us further down that path.
And Butch, our other guest is Don Guay, an assistant professor of paper science at UW-Stevens Point. He was telling us before the break that they are in the process of coming up with a way, they're trying to create rubber out of pulpwood, actual vulcanized rubber that could be sold, I guess, the raw material for $20 a gallon. Is that right, Don?
Well, that's what it was at its peak. Certainly now it has come down with many other things in the market. But, it's something that we're certainly committed to. We believe it's a product that has a lot of potential and a lot of different markets that you can explore with it.
And Don, did I get you right? You're actually thinking that you could have paper mills conceivably producing these kinds of products along with their paper product using the pulpwood?
We've already demonstrated that you can make isoprene out of using the sludge that comes out of the paper mill as one potential feedstock. And certainly you can use the pulp that comes out of the mill, potentially using waste paper as another feedstock. So there's a lot of ways to do this at an existing facility that wouldn't necessarily impact the paper production itself.
And Butch Johnson, I'd like you to get your reaction to that. What do you think of this? The research in biomass and potentially using it not just to generate power, but actually to create whole new products.
Well, I think that's a great idea, and I would be very interested to see how you're coming along with that, Don. We're looking at doing the same thing, but instead of producing just power, we're looking at producing diesel, green diesel, along with some waxes. And the proposal that we're working on right now would put out about 18 million gallons of Fisher Tropes liquid fuel. So we've got our path that we think we're heading down right. And I think that's really one of the things, Glenn, that really comes into play here, because we do have a limited amount of biomass that we're going to be able to use. We have policy makers giving mandates to power companies to become more fossil fuel free. We look at it how we look in the Midwest. We're at a big disadvantage here in the Midwest because of the amount of coal that we use. And then down the road, that's going to put, I think, the Midwest manufacturing jobs at somewhat of a risk of where the where our cost of energy is going to be if we don't get more fossil fuel free. And yet I look at other mandates that come from the government of saying we need to reduce our carbon in regards to fuels. So I don't think the policymakers have really thought anything through very well. And, of course, the big thing that I look at from my standpoint is how do I protect 350 jobs at my paper mill? And as we push more and more use of biomass, it really isn't going to be just biomass. It's going to be pulpwood. It's going to be possibly low-cost logs for sawmills. And so that's our big concern. We're all in favor, and I want to just say we like what We Energy is doing. We're not going to sit and endorse the plan right now until we see just how the fiber is going to be used. But we like the idea that they're incorporating with a paper mill that's a great heat sink and is going to be able to use that excess steam that we opposed up at Ashland, where that's just put into Lake Superior, and we're wasting all that steam. That'll bring We Energy. I'm assuming, Doc, you're probably somewhere in the area of, if you were just a standalone facility, about 35% to maybe a thermal efficiency, and you'll increase your thermal efficiency probably to 50% or more.
I would think that, there's certainly going to be a significant impact along those lines. And that whole issue of cogeneration and the way that that's combined process works is such a benefit, you know, both from the power generation standpoint as well as providing that process steam for the mill and all of the enhancements that provides them economically. And we just think it is the best way to try to orchestrate that.
And Jeff Landon, Butch just mentioned the plant up in the Ashland area. So you're not in favor of all biomass power plant proposals. You oppose that one up there.
We did. He's right. All projects are not created equal. We, as a general rule, are supportive of biomass utilization. We think there are proper ways to do it. This is an example where we think they're moving in the right direction with combined heat and power, but the inefficient use of the wood, they're just burning wood for the sake of making electricity, very inefficient, very costly, and it can jeopardize, and they are very candid, and NSP is that they will burn pulpable wood to make power if that fits their business model. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with them because that's what they should do, but that's not helpful to the paper industry at all.
And again, what you're concerned about is you'll be driving up the raw products of paper, and that drives up the price of paper and everything else.
We're going to be—it's a lose-lose-lose. Higher energy costs, higher wood costs. It's not good.
Butch Johnson, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to let you go, and good luck in Park Falls. And man, it is just such a great success story that you've got going up there.
Well, we hope we can make it continue going and growing. And thanks very much for having us on.
261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. I'm going to go to Carl in Auburndale right now, who has been sitting by very patiently. And Carl, you've got a question about turbines and windmills and other forms of renewables. Hello,
great
Carl.
Great program, guys. Hey, we're really interested in seeing these wind turbines getting up. I think it'll be a great thing for the country. Also, in Wisconsin Rapids, they're building a big plant for making the blades for the, will create quite a few jobs in Wisconsin Rapids. We're happy for that. Also for Johnson Controls, for making the batteries for the cars. And I think this, what the country is looking forward to and doing is great. And thank you guys for putting the program on so everybody can hear it.
Well, thanks for listening. And Doc, why don't you talk about those windmill projects?
Well, certainly the one that we just completed, that's been in production now for a year, our Blue Sky Greenfield project in Fond du Lac County has really exceeded our expectations, I should say. We actually ended up in the first year of production exceeding what our projections were. So we're delighted with that result. And, you know, as we look down the path, we certainly have our work cut out for us at Glacier Hills. We're at a point now. We're probably in the next month or so, we should start with some additional regulatory process, the technical hearings at the Public Service Commission, and then the public hearings at the in the project area itself to continue that process as well. So we're hopeful that we can bring that home to roost as well, and that we're looking at 162 megawatts of wind production there.
Now, that's a large power-generating facility, so this yes. really isn't affected by this bill that just passed the Wisconsin legislature.
That's quite right. It's very different. The wind siting bill specifically addressed projects that are less than 100 megawatts in size. The projects that we've been involved in as a utility have exceeded that. So we have always been under the regulation of the Public Service Commission in taking those projects forward. So this project, or the siting bill, specifically deals with smaller ones.
What does it mean, as somebody who deals with the power industry, to have this bill passed? Will it mean that we're going to be seeing more wind farms across the state of Wisconsin?
Well, you know, certainly the bill that passed, really all it does is set up, you know, the conceptual framework for, you know, a decision to be further drawn and further made by the Public Service Commission. So it's kind of like, you know, they've taken one step. We've got to see what the next step results in.
Is this going to make it harder for individual communities and individual neighborhoods to say no to these projects?
Well, I think that they're certainly going to have to engage in the process. I think that it's going to have.
That sounds like a yes.
Yeah,
going to make them harder for them to say no.
I think it is going to probably result in that. But I think they're going to have to engage in the process to make sure that they've you know, they're working with that particular project developer.
A proposal to site a wind farm near the Horican Marsh, and I know this isn't a We Energies project, but it ran into opposition from bird watchers and environmentalists who were worried about migrating birds and those rotating turbines. Do you think they had a legitimate concern?
Well, I think that the data that we've put together at our own project, which is not too far away in Fond du Lac County, shows that you know, you can certainly construct a project that minimizes that. I think we saw with our project that it came in pretty much what we expected in terms of bird fatalities in particular, a little bit more in the bat fatalities than we'd frankly expected, but we're not quite sure. We're still analyzing that data and taking a look at the result of that, but you know, I haven't paid great attention to, you know, the full results of how their project has come out. I believe they were under the same constraints to do a post-construction study as well. So I don't know that I've seen that or heard anything about the results that they experienced at their project.
But it would be the kind of thing where you have to be careful where you put these so that they're not on major flyways or places where they might impact these migrating birds, because they're disappearing. You know, there are fewer of them every year.
Exactly. And that's why there's so many, you know, folks that get involved up front in terms of siting and, you know, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, you know, you take input from everyone really as you start to look at where this makes sense. And so, you know, very much you have to be aware of that.
Carl, thanks so much for the phone call. We are talking about Wisconsin's independent energy future. We're really focusing not just on wind generation. We're talking about solar, and we are talking about, to a great extent, biomass production, given the groundbreaking power plant that's been planned in Rothschild as a collaboration between Domtar and We Energies. We are taking your phone calls, 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg, Route 51. We'll be back after this.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
We're talking about renewable energies, Wisconsin's energy future, with Jeff Landon of the Wisconsin Paper Council, Doc Musicamp of We Energies. We've also got Don Guay in a direct feed from our UW-Stevens Point, Wisconsin Public Radio studio. He is looking at some future developments for biomass. And Don, let's talk a little bit about biomass fuel. This can come in all different forms, can't it? It can be gaseous, it can be liquid, it can be solid.
Yes, absolutely. And we had Butch Johnson on, and I really applaud the technology that they're looking at, but they're actually going to convert biomass into a gas and then take that gas and make products. So there are a lot of ways to do this. I think the end result over the next coming decades is you're going to find that there's going to be multiple technologies that will be used, because each technology seems to work a little bit better with certain types of biomass, and they make different products, and certainly the market and the demand for those products will guide where a lot of that technology goes.
Wisconsin's got, 15.9 million acres of forest land and 15.4 million acres of grassland. Conceivably, that's a lot of biomass.
It is a lot of biomass. You know, we do have to be careful because we hear numbers like that. But realistically, a lot of that biomass is used to support some really valuable, important low industries right now, like the lumber and pulp and paper industry. But there still is a lot of excess biomass. The agricultural side certainly presents some opportunities. So there is biomass out there, but it's not a huge, huge supply. In fact, we would probably be stretched to try to make a 1,000-megawatt power plant that would be powered by biomass. That would be tough. Specifically, you really couldn't do that size, because you could never get that much biomass to one facility. But, you know, that was sort of put in perspective. We really are limited to the amount of biomass that we have. And I really advocate that we put that biomass towards as high of value products as we make that can displace carbon dioxide, because that's a win-win. We can create high-paying jobs and displace carbon dioxide from fossil fuels, but do it in the most economical way that we can.
Yeah, those numbers that you talked about, Glenn, there is a big challenge transportation-wise and economic-wise to get that out of the forest. That's one thing that people don't look at, too. It really, the diminishing returns on biomass happens fast. If you get farther than 50 or 75 miles away from a facility, the cost of transporting it and actually getting enough to the facility, you lose a lot of ability. So while the numbers are large and there's a lot of acreage of forest land, the amount that you can actually utilize for biomass at a certain facility, it's not nearly that number.
So you're burning gasoline, burning fuel in order to get the potential fuel to the site. Governor Doyle said Wisconsin's energy future lies in our forests. We can do it sustainably, but that's a challenge, isn't it?
It sure is. The paper industry has been one of the most conscientious environmental stewards of the forest land for years. And we have custody chain measures that we go through, certifiable wood. They harvest. We harvest in a very responsible manner because we have to. I mean, it's our most valuable resource. So there are more trees today in the woods than there were 100 years ago. And a lot of people don't even think about that. But there are. The forest lands have more acreage of trees today than they did 100
years
ago.
Well, 100 years ago, we just cut all the trees down,
right,
too. But that is a success story, that we've replanted the forests and we've got not only this great recreation land in the North Woods, but it's a sustainable industry.
Correct. And it's one that we need to make sure stays that way, and it does make it a challenge to utilize all the wood and make paper and all the ancillary wood making, the window guys and the door guys and everybody else that we have that uses our forestry industry. It's a great story for the state.
And Doc Musicamp, would you agree with what Don said, that if you're talking 1,000 megawatts, maybe biomass isn't something that you can pursue for that?
Everything I've heard would certainly support that. Yes, I think that we were very cognizant of this whole technology for years, but it has always been that question that Jeff was just kind of describing about how much supply, how much resource is truly out there, and it's been the one big niggling concern about biomass for power generation over the years, and that's why I think some of these other things with Domtar that it came together in this particular project made it special and made it happen.
I need a quick prediction from you. If all goes as well as it can, to what extent will our power in, say, 20 years, what percentage will be generated by by renewables, what percentage by coal and fossil fuels?
Oh, where did I put my crystal ball? I truly can't make a projection. I mean, I would totally be guessing. I have no particular,
What do you hope?
Well, what I hope, I would think that we'd want to see, and I think the reality is, I've talked to folks in my job that we'd see more, renewable. There'd be more renewable generation than fossil fuel based.
We are headed in that direction. We want to thank today's guests, Jeff Landon, president of the Wisconsin Paper Council, Walter Doc Musicamp of We Energies, Don Guay, assistant professor of paper science and engineering at UW Stevens Point. Also earlier in this program, Butch Johnson, CEO of Flambeau River Papers, Thad Nation, executive director of CREW. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer and on-air producer, Rick Ryer. Thanks also to our online producer, Scott Clark, for technical assistance at UW Stevens Point. A reminder, you can communicate with us now on Twitter and Facebook. Find us on Twitter at twitter.com/Route51Show. And if you're on Facebook, put Route 51 in the search bar, then click on our fan page. Next Thursday, Route 51 welcomes George Tepping of the Wausau Conservatory of Music and WPR's own classical music host, Lori Skelton, as we do a show on opera. For those who love it and those who don't know anything about it. Thanks again for riding with us today. Until next week, we're heading out of town.